You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Several weeks ago, the Lord stirred in my heart a great frustration in regards to this statement, the Lord took him. And my frustration was not that God took him, because if you're a child of God and it's your time to die, God's going to take you. However, the assumption that our choices and our life does not impact the length of our life and the quality of our life, that basically because you're a Christian, you can live however you want to and do whatever you want to, because one day there's a date on the calendar, and when you show up on that date, that's when you're going to be gone. That whole mindset is not biblical. And we've looked at this over the last several weeks. I know that when we look into the Word of God and we look at individuals' lives, and we talked about these, we talked about Samson. When he shared his secret, did that impact his life? What about Cain and Abel? When Cain decided that he was not going to make a sacrifice God's way, did that impact his life? What about Jonah running from God? We talked about this. Jonah's running from God. Did that impact his life? What about Abraham and Lot? When Abraham said, you can choose anything you want and God's going to bless me regardless, did that impact Abraham's life? And then we mentioned Judas. When Judas made a decision to betray the Lord, did that impact his life? Did it impact the length of his life? Yes, we talked about some of these things. This morning, I don't want to go through all the things we've talked about. Let me just start with this, that it is the Father's will that we experience life and life abundant. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 10 through 16, the Lord your God will delight in you if you obey His voice and keep the commands and decrees written in this book of instruction. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, this command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand. This whole thing about life, God started in the first covenant saying it's not hard to get. If you want to get it, you want to understand. It's not kept in heaven. It's not so distant that you must ask. How many know that through Christ it didn't get more difficult? It's not harder for us today. We don't have to ask who is going to go up to heaven and bring down what God has so we can hear it. It is not kept beyond the sea. What are these verses saying? God is not trying to make it hard for us to get it. No, verse 14, the message is close at hand It's on your lips. It's in your heart so that you can obey it. And what is that message? Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death. You know this, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but what is the offer God gives to all men, all people, in all generations? You have a choice. I have a choice. I'd like you just to say that. I have a choice. Listen, God says, listen, today I'm giving you a choice, and the choice is life and death, life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Say, well, that's pretty easy to decide. Well, why do so many people not make the right choice? Because so many people do not understand that the only real life is God's life. Everything else is a veneer, and it's false, and it's fake, and it's not genuine, and it won't last. And so God says, I give you a choice between life, death, prosperity, disaster. I command you this day to love the Lord your God, keep His commands, decrees, regulations by walking in His ways. If you do this, you'll live, you'll multiply, the Lord will bless you. And I'm jumping over a bunch of words. Verse 19, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. That adds a little more to it. Choose life, you choose the blessings. Choose death, there are no other choices. I remember as a 15-year-old, my twisted plan was, yeah, I want to go to heaven, so I want fire insurance, but just before I'm on that banana peel and I'm ready to slide out of this world, last minute, I'll give my heart to God. That was a thought given to me by the devil. It was a thought that came from this perspective, God is a killjoy. Satan has a plan for all the fun. What a lie. What a lie. But thank God at 15, God got a hold of my heart. And I made a choice not to be religious, not to follow in mom and dad's footprints, but to follow Jesus 100%. And that changed everything. So you know this, I know this, you've heard this, but I have to say it again this morning because I sat in services week after week in chapels every day, and yet I was choosing death. And so you may be here this morning and you may have one foot in the kingdom. Yeah, I want to make it to heaven. But you may be living your life your way, and I don't know, but God knows. If you are not fully committed to life this morning, then choose life. And this is what God says. God says, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. And then God's heart is, oh, that you would choose life. How many parents, how many moms, how many dads have prayed for years over, you know, your children or your grandchildren, and as you pray those prayers, praying in agreement with what God is saying, God's saying, this opportunity is here. Oh, that you would choose life. And yet it's a personal decision. It's an individual choice. So, we've already looked at 2 points of a 3-point message. The Father's will is that we choose life. Life, yes, it's eternal. But it's also here and now. It's here and now. And it's an individual choice. And God is still giving that choice to us today. Third point's a point I really wanted to come to this morning, and that is choosing life is a fight of faith. It's a good fight. It's a victorious fight. It's a winning battle. It's a winning war. You're winning. But it is a fight. We are at war. And so we should not be shocked at some of the things that we see. I'm going to have to call your attention to a passage of Scripture that maybe you haven't looked at in this way. But in regards to the fight of faith and the good fight, the fight that we win, one of the areas where the enemy would love for believers to get off track is in regards to discerning the body. When was the last time you read these scriptures that are over here in 1 Corinthians 11 that says, verses 26 through 30, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're doing something. You're announcing the Lord's death until He comes. So that means you become a public mouthpiece for God. So when we break bread and we receive communion together, some might call it the Eucharist, but we're talking about the body and the blood of Christ. When we receive that, 1 Corinthians says, you are announcing, you are remembering, but you're declaring the Lord's death until He comes again. You're saying, I know that Jesus died, but I also know that He lives, and I know that He's coming again. He is coming again. So communion celebrates the victory that Christ gave us over Satan, death, hell, and the grave. And then it is a celebration of the promise that Jesus is coming again. Now, I remember when someone came to me and said, Pastor, why don't we celebrate the life and resurrection every Sunday, just like we take offerings? Why shouldn't we and why wouldn't we want to announce the Lord's death until He comes again? And the focus is He's coming again, and we're looking for His coming. What He has done is completed here, but He's coming again, and we are to be looking for Him. So communion is when I say, I believe that He died, He rose from the dead, He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's coming again. And I'm drinking this meal because He promised that next time He would do it with us when we are with Him. But that's not all this passage says. It talks about discerning the Lord's body. Now, I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians because I want to be able to read from a couple passages here, but we are in chapter 11. And we're going to read a little further, then we're going to look in chapter 10. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, say unworthily, is guilty of sinning against what? The body and the blood of the Lord. Now we're talking about choosing life, Ruddy, so this means it's possible for all of us to get this right, but it's also possible for some to get it wrong. So we need to understand it. When was the last time you heard a message on discerning the body of Christ? I don't see any hands raised. When did you hear this last? You see, when people say, well, the Lord just took them. I've never been at a funeral where someone said, I'll tell you why they died. They didn't discern the body of Christ. Do you think this is in the Word for maybe people who lived 100 years ago, or do you think it even works for us this morning? So anyone who eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should... Who should? You should. You shouldn't be examining me, and I'm not here to examine you. Who discerneth the mind of man other than the Holy Spirit of God and your own spirit? So, you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. You know, I was in a lot of communion services. I don't know that I ever heard a message on this all my years growing up. And I don't remember ever studying this in college or in preparation for the ministry. And yet, this passage says, "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's what? We have different translations. What does it say? Judgment upon yourself. Now listen, I know my sins were judged at the cross. I'm a child of God, right? But I want you to understand that the choices we make impacts the length of our life. It's not for me to judge you or you to judge me. That's why we wouldn't say it at a funeral, because we're to let the Holy Spirit search our own hearts, right? And we know there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? For there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And so in Christ, we need to discern and understand what it is to discern the body. But look at verse 30. That is why. So in our healing services, we should have a discernment teaching. Because the Word of God says that we can bring judgment upon ourselves by not properly discerning the body. And the result is weakness. Weak and sick, and some have died. Some have died. Now, there's not a lot of shouting going on right now because you're going, "Oh, me. Oh, me." This is not an "oh, me" message. This is to turn the light on so that we do not fall prey to the devil's plan against the church. Faith comes by what? Hearing by what? Okay. Now, you can do a bunch of research online and try to figure out exactly what discerning the body is, and there's all kinds of different thoughts and opinions about it. How many of you would like to know what the Word says about it? So, if you're in Corinthians, you have your little electronic Bible there, you can turn over there. We're going to go to chapter 10. I remember asking my Greek teacher in college. I'd been out of college 10 years, went back to finish up, and I had advanced second year, second semester Greek interpretation that I had to take after being out of school for 10 years. Boy, that was fun. Jose, that was almost as big of a miracle as you being alive this morning. Just that I could go back to class after 10 years and remember, you know, the Omaitis and the Amenetiusis and all those. And you know what that is. You don't need to know what that is. Those are endings on Greek words, but there's like 1,200 of them or some, a lot of them. And I remember asking my Greek teacher about this passage of Scripture. I said, What does this mean to you? First Corinthians chapter 10. And he said, let me think about it. Let me look at it. I'll get back to you on that. Well, let's look at it. I want you to look at it. Because I want you to remember that the Corinthian church was not lacking in the charismata. They had the gifts operating. The Holy Spirit's operating. They have all kinds of wonderful things that's going on with words, interpretations, healings, miracles. A lot of things are going on in this church. So I'm going to start with verse 14. Chapter 10, verse 14. You could read the whole chapter. The whole chapter is good, but I'm going to start with verse 14. So my dear friends, I'm reading from the New Living Translations, flee from the worship of idols. You got to be kidding me. This is to the church? You mean the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, you got to stop worshiping idols? I wonder if the church is full of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, but at the same time has those individuals that are worshiping idols, how many of you think that might be a distraction in the church? I like the New Living Translation, the way he addresses them, my dear friends. Flee the worship of idols. Verse 15, you are reasonable people. You can follow your translation. It won't hurt it. It'll be the same. You're reasonable people. Decide for yourself if what I'm about to say is true. He's saying you don't need a theological degree. You don't need to, you know, have your PhD in Greek and Hebrew to be able to understand this. You're reasonable. So then he asks a question. Verse 16. When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, now what are we talking about? We're talking about communion. Yeah. Do you all understand that? When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing? You say, why do we have communion? Well, to remember the death, the resurrection, soon return of the Lord. But aren't we also, look at this, benefits of communion. Aren't we sharing in the benefits of the blood of Christ? We're talking about covenant benefits. So if we're receiving communion together, we're receiving benefits of the blood of Christ. This is why many are healed during communion. Many received the baptism of the Holy Spirit during communion. Many received words of wisdom, insight, direction during communion. Sharing the benefits of the blood of Christ. And when we break the loaf of bread, what are we talking about? Communion. Communion. Y'all still with me? Okay, this isn't graduate level. This is, you know, feet on the ground, right? When we break the loaf of bread, breaking the bread, aren't we sharing in the benefits of the body of Christ? Remember what happened in his body? Upon his body. Did he not take the lashes? How many? 39. For our healing. The benefits of the body. So we are sharing in the benefits of the blood of Christ and sharing in the benefits of the body of Christ. And we all eat from one, what? One loaf. Why is that? Because there's one body. It's not a dissected, divided body. In fact, the Word would say there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And even though, you know, some may say, well, you guys don't have it right, so we actually do our own thing over here. If you're in Christ, you're still a part of that one body. that's partaking of one blood and partaking of one loaf, one body. We all eat from one loaf, showing that we are one body. So when we share communion, we are saying there's no division amongst us. That because we're one through the blood and one through the body of Christ, we share in the benefits with Christ in the blood and in the body, and then we also share in the benefits of no division amongst us. It's been a while since I've seen this, but I have been in communion services where the Holy Spirit directed people to go and make things right between a brother or a sister. Now, since we're advanced, we don't have any of those problems like that here, I trust. But in some congregations, people come in different doors because, well, I don't need to suggest why. Because even though none of you have this problem, you've probably known someone that did. And sometimes it's been because there have been evils done in the body. That's why Jesus said, forgive us, pray this, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So none of you in this room are so perfect that you could not fall short of the full glory of God. And when you fall short, another believer might be close enough to actually be impacted by some of that. And we all eat from one loaf, showing that we are one body. And think about the nation of Israel. All who eat the sacrifices are united by that act. It is a physical but also a spiritual act that takes place. With Israel, Passover, right? You remember Passover? But now we have the body of Christ. It's so much more powerful than Passover alone, though Passover still practiced.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.